Ephesians chapter number 3. Look with us tonight in verse number 14. The Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able..." Amen. Aren't you glad he's able tonight? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Do you know tonight, you don't even have to say it. I got to thinking about that today. And boy, we're going to give an account. Now, I tried to preach on that subject Monday during the funeral. We're going to give an account. But I want to say this, Brother Odine, he knows if I'm thinking about something. And I want to say this to you tonight before we go any further. He knows when you're worrying whether you ever say a word or not. And he knows what's going on in your mind. And he knows what you're fretting on. You don't even have to ask him. He already knows. Notice this, what he says tonight. "According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now I want you to notice tonight, look in verse number 21. It says, "Unto him be glory in the church." Amen. Tonight, do you know tonight the church is supposed to be a joyous place?
Amen.
Do you know tonight that the church is supposed to be a happy place?
Amen.
I want you to pray for us tonight. I want to preach to you on this thought. He has, he's able, he can. He has, he's able, he can. And you may be seated tonight. As we've come into this, let me reiterate what we have preached. He has, out of Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 14 through 21. There were 4 points in the first sermon or message tonight. He has taken our place as a sinner. He has tasted death for all men. He has rose from the dead, and he has ascended on high. Aren't you glad tonight to know that Jesus took your place as a sinner? And aren't you glad tonight to know that the God of heaven, the Son of God, tasted death before you've ever tasted it? That he's already experienced what lies ahead for so many of us. I want you to know tonight and have this understanding, until the Lord comes back, there's going to be a need of funeral homes. Until the Lord comes back, there's going to be a need of funeral homes. And you say, "Preacher, why do you say that?" People are going to continue to die. It's the curse that came through the garden. So I'm thankful tonight he has tasted to death, but he also rose from the dead. I'm glad tonight that he is the first fruits. Amen. He's already defeated death, hell, and the grave. And number 4, out of the first message, he has ascended on high. We read there in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through number 11. When the angel stood there and simply said, "Why, ye men of Galilee, stand here gazing, this same Jesus will come in like manner." And what they were saying was, as you seen him go up, he will come back. Did we know that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica that said, "In the moment of a twinkling of an eye, and when the last trump shall sound, all the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive remain shall be caught up in the air." And I'll say this to you tonight, boy, that's going to be a day, isn't it? And when the graves open up and Jesus comes back, I'm glad he's coming back, aren't you? And not only that, but then Sunday morning we took the focus and preached on the thought, he's able. And I preached on these 4 or 5 points in the Bible that we understand in Genesis chapter number 22, that God is able to provide a lamb. He provided Jesus Christ for you and I. And I'll say this to you, I can't help but think that when somebody gets saved, that Jesus goes back to the cross and thinks of that time that he offered himself for that sinner that got born again. Aren't you glad tonight that when Jesus moves on the scene and we're seeing folks get saved that we see that God is able to provide a lamb. Not only is God able to provide a lamb, that God is able to provide water in this spiritual wicked day. We went to the book of Numbers, chapter number 20 and verse number 11, when God told Moses to smite the rock twice with his staff, and that water came out abundantly. Boy, I'm glad tonight that even in this sinful day, even in this wicked day, Brother Robert, I can come by and get some spiritual water from God. And I'm glad that I can get refreshed in the things of God. I'm glad that it's water, Brother Hovding, that quenches the thirst. Honey, that only can be quenched through the Spirit of God. I'm telling you tonight, alcohol can't do it. The world can't do it. But Jesus can quench the desire of our hearts.
Amen.
I'm glad tonight, number three, that not only is He able to provide water, but He's able to provide protection. Amen? I was speaking with Miss Edie and Brother Melvin back there. She said, "Do you remember what you preached on Sunday?" And I thought, "Lord help, she's going to wear me out over something." And she said, "You're talking about the devil getting into everything." She said, "Something happened to the computer. Something happened to the washing machine. Something happened. Something happened to the Buick. And something happened to the van." And all four of them, I think it was four things, wasn't it? All four of them things had one thing in common. Melvin was operating them. Now, Melvin, she called you the devil. I didn't. No, I'm teasing. But I say this to you. I say that in a laughing humor, and I appreciate the laughter. I want to say this to you. I go to enough churches preaching revivals in the spring and fall and in the summers that is sour and dried up on the Lord. Listen to me. I like to pick and cut up, and I like to have a good time. Listen to me. This world is beating our people down enough. We ought to be able to come to the house of God, have a smile on our face, feel good about being there. Now, listen to me. There's a difference in that and being under conviction. There ought to be some conviction in the house of God. But I think while we're here, we can have a good time. Amen? I think we can enjoy it. You go to the ball game, you're going to have a good time. You're going to scream and holler and do this and that. Boy, you're going to have a good time. Why can't we come into the house of God and talk about a holy God and a just God and how good God's being and just have a good time in the Lord and pick and fellowship one with another? There's no harm in that. I told Brother Robert, I said, "Brother, I didn't know if you was going to be here tonight or not. I figured I made him mad." He looked at me and he said, "For what?" I said, "We rode you pretty hard Sunday." But I'll not get over Brother Junior saying, "Well, Brother Junior, how'd you go on vacation?" He said, "I went where Betty told me to go." I'll not get over that poor fella. I love him. And Brother Junior told me there at the end, I asked him something else. He said, I may not need to say anything else. I think I'm digging a hole." Miss Betty was a smiling back there. But I'll say this to you tonight. God is able. I like to come to church and feel the fresh water. And I like to tell you this tonight, that God's got you and I protected. There ain't nothing, listen to me, honey, there ain't nothing comes to you that don't go by the throne of God first. And when the sons of God in the book of Job, when the sons of God had gathered themselves in the presence of God, the devil came walking from to and fro on the earth and came before God. And God said, "Have you tried my servant Job?" He had to give him approval to touch him. And I'll say this to you tonight, God knows what you're able to withstand. God knows what your faith needs. And God knows how you need to grow. But I'm thankful tonight He provides protection. Can I say to you tonight, He is a God that is able to provide shelter in the midst of a storm. And you say, "Why is that?" Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. And you listen to me tonight. This world's going to hell. I can't change it. I can't do nothing about it. I can't, listen to me, honey. I'm going to say this to you. I have lost a job that I was very dependent upon. And it was nothing I'd done. It was the company was going to shut down and go sell out. And it was nothing that I chose to do. But you know what, Brother O'Teen? When my world should have been turned upside down, I had some peace deep down in my soul that everything was going to be all right. And I had the ability to look at that man across the table when he handed me that vanilla envelope and said, "Josh, we're going to have to let you go, or you can move to Indiana, one or the other." And I said, "I'll take the layoff." And he said, "Well, how do you feel?" And we got the HR here to talk to. And I said, "I feel fine." I said, "Listen," I said, "I've got hope and I've got prayers and I've got desires ahead of me." Me and Miss Hannah got married. And she said, "If we're going to get married, you got to get a job." And boy, she was riding me. Then she rode me. She said, "You got to get a job. We can't get married and you not have a job." I got on down at Unify. I think I was making $10 an hour. And that, boy, that was a pay cut. I'd left Certainty, making almost 21, and went down to $10 an hour. And then I needed something permanent. That was just temporary, Rusty. I was just going to work there a little while till they moved it to Mexico. And my cousin said, well, you can get on at Lydall. Paul, she didn't say a whole lot, but when I got on at Lydall, went $9.40 an hour, she said, you should have stayed home. You made more money staying home than you did working. I thought, what am I doing? But you know what? In the midst of all that, I had peace. Hey, listen to me. I've heard my daddy testify so many times when Dr. Neighbors told him he had cancer. He said there was peace. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something tonight. That's the only peace, and that's the only thing that will pass our knowledge is when Christ is in the presence in the midst of a storm. I mean, when our world should be turned upside down, I mean, I'm glad He's a refuge. I'm glad He's a strong tower. I'm glad He is shelter in the midst of the storm. I'm glad tonight He's able to provide above what we ask. Book of Ephesians says this tonight. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Tonight I want to preach to you on this thought. And I've got just a few things and I'm going to be done. Tonight I'm glad that He has. Brother Robert, I'm glad that He's done some things in the past for me. I'm glad tonight that Mr. Eldane, God's blessed Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. Up to this point, I'll say this to you tonight. I know there's not many here. We're used to having more on our Wednesday night services and more on Sunday morning services. But I'll say this, boy, I'm thankful for what God has done here at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. When everybody else said it ought to shut the doors, when we got down to 10 people, and that was, I come in here as a young preacher, didn't know what I was doing, and some of them left. And listen to me, God has done some great things right here. And God's done some great things in the past for you. But Brother David, I'm glad that He has done those things, but I'll say this, He's able to do great things now.
Right. Amen.
Not only is He able to do great things now, Brother Robert, He can do great things
always,
now.
Always.
I'll never get over that. I go back to my mind so many times of that preacher telling me in Bible college that an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing King James preaching church will not grow in these days. Rusty, I'd like to go find him and bring him back and show him over the past 8 years what God's done in an independent, fundamental, King James preaching church. Hey, I would like for him to come in and see what God's done up front. Listen to me. I'm glad that I don't serve a God of yesteryears. And I don't serve a God of yesterday. And I don't serve a God of the past. But I serve a God of the present. And I serve a God of the future. And I serve a God that has done great things, that's able to do great things, and can do great things these days. What are some things that this God can do? I'll tell you what this God can do. This God can heal the sick.
Yep.
How do you know that, preacher? The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 14 tonight in verse 13. The Bible says, and when Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick.
Right.
Now what's that mean tonight? Boy, I'm thankful tonight that He can heal the sick. Do you know that tonight? He can cure cancer.
Yep.
Do you know that? He can do things that doctors has never done.
Right.
And I say this to you tonight, I'm thankful that He can heal the sick. But there's something in there tonight that struck me other than what He can do. Brother David, the Bible says that He was moved with compassion.
Right.
I want to say this to you. This was a godless people. Brother Robert, this was a people that was wicked. These was the same crowd that was going to be on the side of Pilate hollering, crucify Him! Crucify Him! This was the same crowd, Brother Odeen. Boy, that was so intrigued by Him and so intrigued by His miracles. But somehow, when Jesus seen them following Him and seen them pursuing Him, they was wanting something more. They was desiring something more. They desired to have something that He had. And the Bible says that He departed to a desert place. He went to a place where no man should have been. He went to a place, Brother David, that didn't have a McDonald's. It didn't have a Walmart. And it didn't even have the Ronda Walmart, Dollar General. It didn't have a cafe. Listen to me. It was desert. It was set apart. It was deserted. It was no man should have been there. And Jesus went there to be alone. And the Bible says that when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot. They pursued Him walking. Listen to me. It's hard to get people to get in the car and drive 10 miles down the road, go to church, let alone walk to it. Amen. It's hard to get people up to do anything by foot. They'll say, well, that's going to require some energy. Listen to me. He can, but it's going to require you doing some things.
Exactly.
He had never been moved with compassion had they stayed back. But they pursued Him. And the Bible says that He was moved with compassion. I believe tonight that Jesus, when we begin to pursue Him and we begin to seek after Him and we begin to put forth some effort and we begin to put forth some footwork, amen. Listen to me. Boy, we pray that we'd see new people come in, but there's got to be some footwork on the outside. There's got to be some presence on the outside that is going out in the highways and hedges. And I'll say this to you tonight. I haven't visited with some of our new ones. Dan, I haven't visited with you, but I've visited with other people, and those people ain't come to church, but God sent you. You say, what's that? He was moved. He was moved with effort. David, I didn't go visiting you, but I visited some people in Ronda. I tell you, you can't get nobody in Ronda to go to church. And if they're going to go to church, they're going to go to Elkin, the church. But you can go to Elkin and visit people in Elkin, Brother Paul. You can't get them to go to church in Elkin, but you can get them to come to church in Ronda. You can go to Trap Hill and try to invite people. Listen, Daddy pastored a church up next to Trap Hill. Now I'll say this to you. We went out visiting, and that's why I learned to visit and how to knock on doors. Brother Paul, we'd go out visiting and down Trap Hill, and we'd never see nobody from Trap Hill come. But we'd have somebody from Hamptonville that would go to church in Trap Hill. You say, what happens? When he sees the effort, it begins to move him. Jesus seen them. He seen they're sick. Can I say to you tonight, it's more than simply saying, I'll pray for you. Somebody says, pray for me. And if you say, I'll pray for you, and that's as far as you go, you're not getting his attention.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Amen. Boy, over the past year, I couldn't tell you how many people I've seen come in with their marriages falling apart. And God either separated or He fixed it. And you can't find them in church now. Boy, they were moved every service trying to get a hold of God, trying to get God to fix things. When God fixed it, they fled. They was like this crowd. But Brother Robert, I'm thankful that when I start pursuing Him, and I start pushing to where He's at, and I go to that desert place, and I get away from everything else, and I get away from the high lights, and I get away from what everybody else is doing, and I go to where He's at.
Right.
Brother Rusty, I'm glad He's a rock that's higher than I.
That's right. Amen.
I'm glad I have to go where He's at. But you know what, Brother Robert? I want you to notice what happens. The Bible says He heard of it. He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot. The Bible says in verse 14, and Jesus went forth. Brother David, He's that rock that's higher than me. But when He sees me pursuing, He knows I can't get to where He's at, so He'll come to where I'm at.
Right.
Can I say to you tonight, He's a God that can heal the sick and a God that's moved with compassion. And He is a God that can do great things.
Right.
Number two tonight, He can heal the sick. I want you to notice this tonight. Go with me to the Gospel of St. John tonight. Chapter number 11. Chapter number 11. He can heal the sick. Can I say this to you tonight? Not only can He heal the sick, but He can raise the dead.
Yes, amen.
He can raise the dead. Brother Odin, I'm not talking about me banging on a casket or me trying to do anything. But did you know tonight that He defeated death
right
when He got up? So that means He has the ability to conquer because he conquered death, hell, and the grave.
Yep.
And if I'm heir and a joint heir, and if he bought me with a price, can I say this to you tonight? If he died because he loved me so much, don't you think when I'm dead, he wants to bring me up?
Exactly. Amen.
Notice the story. The Bible teaches us there was a man named Lazarus. Had a sister named Mary and a sister named Martha. And Jesus loved Lazarus. And the Bible teaches us here, and we often hear all these preacher words, the shortest verse in the Bible. Well, in verse number 35 of John chapter 11, the Bible says Jesus wept.
Yep.
Now, I'll say this to you tonight. I don't believe Jesus wept because he didn't know what he was going to do. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. Brother Odini, it wasn't the fact that he couldn't prevent anything, but I think that not only is he moved with compassion, but he wept because of their unbelief. You know, tonight, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
He's moved with compassion toward us, but we have a lot of unbelief. Isn't it amazing you're willing to trust him with your soul, but you can't trust him with your children? Isn't it amazing we can trust him with our eternal soul, but we can't trust him with our day-to-day activities? Isn't it amazing that we can trust him with our eternal soul, but we can't trust him with our marriage? Isn't it amazing that we can trust him with our soul, but we can't trust him with our jobs? Isn't it amazing that we can trust him with our soul, but we can't trust him with our checkbook? We can believe in him that he'll save us, but we can't believe in him that he'll heal us. We can believe in him that he'll raise us from the dead, but we can't believe in him to fix the problem. We can believe in him that he'll save us, but we can't believe in him that he'll provide us a mate for marriage. We can believe in him that he'll touch us, but we can't believe in us he's got the whole problem in his hand. You see, tonight, Jesus wept because of his unbelief. Notice what he said in verse number 43. He did this so that they may believe. Verse 42 says, "Which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, I just thought about something. And don't you say it, Rusty, I will hurt you. I said I thought about something, and I knew Rusty was going to say, "You got to thinking again." So that's our favorite phrase at work. When we tell one individual, "Quit thinking, you're getting in trouble." But I just thought about something. Why do you reckon he said, "Lazarus, come forth"? Y'all right if I have a Wilkes County moment? If I just go ahead and show my hick side and how simple my thought process is. Anybody, I heard somebody back there talking about it, why he said Lazarus come forth. Anybody in here have an idea why he said Lazarus come forth? All the dead would have got it. If he'd have just walked up that tomb and said, "Come forth!" That all came out. You reckon? You reckon old Moses would have got up wherever his body's at? You reckon Joshua would have rose up? Boy, he had enough power. He had to specify who he wanted to come out. He cried out, "Lazarus!" He wanted that spirit to know where it was going. He said, "Come forth." Can I say something to you now? He can raise the dead. At any given moment, he can step out of glory.
Yep.
And the dead will raise first.
Yep.
It's at the moment of his fingertips. As soon as the Father says, "Son, bring thy children home," all he's going to step out and say is, "Come forth." Isn't that amazing tonight? That he can call them to come forth.
Yep.
I want you to notice this tonight. Not only can he heal the sick and he's moved with compassion, but tonight he's moved by their unbelief in raising the dead. Do you know tonight I truly believe that if our church people could get a hold of the thought, he can come back at any moment, they'd live their life different.
Yes, they would.
Everybody. If Jesus could come back, I know some of y'all have heard it preached. I have pastored for 8 years. This year, well, I will be preaching my 11th year. I've pastored for 8 of those 11 years. And Rusty, I couldn't tell you at the time, said, I've preached, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Some of my older ones in here, Brother Don, you've probably heard it for many, many years. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And I could ask Brother Junior's and Brother Bill, they're some of those that's been around the longest, and I can imagine that since their childhood, they've heard he's coming back. But don't you think if the church people really got a hold of that, don't you think they would do differently?
Yes, I would. Everybody would.
Well, if you knew the thief was coming to your house tonight, you'd be ready, wouldn't you?
Yep. Sure would.
I was down at Preacher Wishon's. I went down there and visited with him. Never been to his house. And Brother Bud loves wild game. And boy, I took him a deer, and he was thrilled beyond himself. And I got tickled. I knew, Mr. Oldane, I knew. Mr. Oldane, I knew when I went there I was going to be there for a while. It's like when you go visit Gwen and Eula. You just will not get no hurry. My daddy had a funeral last night. He told me, he said, I have got... First time he's ever had a nighttime funeral. I ain't never been to one, but he had one. You know, they pick an odd preacher to do odd things. I'm teasing. But Rusty, I got over there. I had to go take our deer stands down. I don't want to leave that stuff. I want to get my inventory together, see what I lost, see what Anna needs to buy me. And hey, she got me a good set of knives for Christmas, brother.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll flay it out. But I had to get all that stuff. And Daddy told me, he said, I have got to be at the funeral home by 6 o'clock. He said, don't you linger around. Go get what done and go get back. And if you go see Gwen Sparks, you just will not get in a hurry. I got there and I had to help him move a fuel tank. I don't mind that. You know, the man's been good enough to let me come shoot the deer, and I'm trying to help him. He's trying to help me. And I go by and visit. And Gwen's always got some stories got to tell him. And I knew it was going to take me a few minutes to get my four-wheeler ready because it's been sitting out for a while, and I had to take some stuff off of it to go get stuff transported out. And so I had to borrow some of his tools, and I was hurrying, ratcheting. And finally, I had to tell him it was like 20 till 5. And I said, Gwen, I got to go get this stuff. Well, stop and see me before you leave. Brother O'Dean, I tried to do it best I can. I left my four-wheeler running right next to his front door. And I went in. He said, have a sit down. I said, I left the four-wheeler running. What'd you do that for? I said, I got to go. He said, sit down. You need to talk to me. I went down there and seen Preacher Wishon the other day. I did make it back. Finally, I told him, I said, look, Daddy's got a funeral night. And he told me, don't linger around. Him and Mama's got to go. He said, you ought to go riding up in there at 5:45. If it's at Jonesville, he can make it there in 10 minutes. I said, you're trying to get me killed. I went down there and seen Preacher Wishon. I took that deer into him, and I knew, Brother O'Dane, don't get no hurry. But I was trying, you know. It was, I had to get Brooklyn. Anna was coming home. I mean, it was already 4:40, and he was trying to carry the cooler. And I said, Bud, I got it. And we went to his house, and we come back, and I was at the door, and Brother Bud, he got between me and the door, and he said, let me have that cooler. And I thought, man, I got it. You know, it's empty now. I got it. He set that down and he reached and he took my coat off of me. And he said, now sit down on the couch and talk to me a while. I said, okay. But you know what? He wanted to put some wisdom into my head. He said, preacher, I ain't got so many years left. And he said, you've been so good to me. And he said, I want to give you some things. And I enjoyed the hour and a half conversation. I really, really did. And Miss Jerry, she told me, she said, son, you don't know what you mean to that old man. And I said, Miss Jerry, he don't know what he means to me and what she means to me and how they've impacted my ministry and how he's helped me. And Daddy's my daddy and he's been my pastor, and Brother Mickey's my father-in-law. He's been my preacher to help me, but there's something different about a dear old man of God that's on the outside trying to help a young man and trying to help a ministry. And boy, I appreciate that. But I told him, I said, Miss Jerry, I said, I got to go. It's getting dark, and I'm down here in the suburbs of Yakima. And Brother Bud had been talking about, yeah, it is your papa, baby. Come here. I want you to do something. You're not going to get in trouble. Look at him. Can you tell him your verse? Can you tell him your verse? I'll let you go. Say the Lord. Say it real loud. I'll let you go and go to Mama. Say it.
No.
You won't get in trouble. Mama won't get you in trouble. I promise you. If you'll say it, you won't be in trouble. Say it for him. What is it? There you go. All right, take off. You know what she said? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. And Mama, don't you be mad at her. But I sat down there with Brother Bud, and I told him, I said, I got to go. It's getting dark. I said, I'm in the suburbs of Yakima. This is a bad place. She said, oh, honey, she said, we could leave here and never lock the doors. I said, well, that's good. And Brother Bud had been talking to me about Brother Joe Arthur. That's just for y'all that don't know, that's his son-in-law. And me and Joe, I've got to know him a little bit through Bud. And I said, I got to go. I said, I ain't got my gun or nothing. They might get me. And she said, oh, honey, she said, if they was to break in our house, we'd have to say, y'all, wait a minute. We got to find the gun. And y'all just sit down right there. We're going to look for the ammo because we don't know where it's at either. And if it takes us 30 minutes, you sit right there. We're going to shoot you. You say, preacher, why do you say that? I'm going to tell you something. There's coming a day where we won't have to worry about the guns.
That's right.
We're not going to have to worry about the heartaches.
Nope.
We're not going to have to worry about that. And if Jesus had not specified Lazarus, it would have done happen. Let me give you the last thing, what he can do. Go with me to the Gospel of Acts, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. I'm still hung up there in Matthew and John. Acts chapter number 2 tonight. I'm going to be done. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 2 tonight, in verse number 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Can I say this, and I'm going to get done. He can still add to the church.
Yep.
We see it. I'm thankful tonight that every week we see it. We see people come. We see people getting saved. But you know, there was some requirements for him to heal the sick. They had to move. There was some requirements for Lazarus to come forth. They needed to believe. Do you know tonight there's some requirements for the church to grow? I'm going to say this. As far as I know tonight, everybody here seems to get along good. As far as I know. If there's some bickering and quarreling going on, I don't know a thing about it. As far as I know, everybody in here loves everybody. And everybody fellowships and everybody gets along. Listen, that's what church is about. We're not the perfect church. Listen, we are not the perfect church. We are far from that place. But I'll say this, everybody that comes here enjoys being here. And I'll tell you, it's not for the green carpet, it's for the people.
That's right.
It's not for the low ceilings, it's for the people. It's not for the preacher, it's for the people. They fall in love with the people. And Brother David testified about that Sunday, about loving everybody here. Those apostles, they got together and they were in fellowship. And the ones that got saved, you know what? They were in fellowship. They didn't try to find fault with one another. You know what? You can go to some churches and people pick about what kind of dress they got on or what they're wearing. Or they wouldn't do this or they wouldn't do that. Now, I want to say this to you. I'm thankful you're here.
That's right.
I would rather, and I told Miss Angela that, and I hate to use them, but they fit right into the message tonight. That God brought y'all right. She said, I hope people don't judge me. And I said, honey, I'm glad you're here.
Right.
She didn't have time, and I'm thankful they're here.
Right.
But you can go some places, and if you don't wear this, or you don't wear that, or you don't act this way, they'll sit and they'll pick you apart. If you don't think like they think. I'll tell you what, I learned thinking gets you in trouble. Bad. And I'll say this, why can't we just love one another? Why can't we just fellowship one? Rusty told me at work, he said, I just love those people. You know, y'all know he's not here for me, he's here for y'all. He goes to work and he hates me at work. He said, why y'all got to be mean to me all the time? We love him. We really love Rusty. He don't really know what he means to me.
Right.
Not at church, but at work. To have a fresh smile that I don't have to worry about foul language or ugly thought or something coming out of him. I don't have to worry about him doing that. But you know what? The church ought to be fellowship. There ought to be some love. There ought to be some compassion. You know what? We ought to have all things in common.
Yep.
You know what our common ought to be? It's to glorify God.
Amen.
Praise Him.
Amen.
Worship Him.
Right.
Love Him.
Yes.
Pray to Him. Enjoy Him. Or not be worrying about how many songs the choir sung, or how long the preacher preached, or who did this, or who did that. We ought to just come in to worship God.
Right.
And you know what happened? They went from house to house breaking bread.
Yep.
You know what? That tells me the first church was Baptist. They liked to eat.
Amen.
They went house to house breaking bread. You know what? There's nothing wrong with you going over to somebody's house in church and having dinner. There's nothing wrong with you inviting somebody from church over to your house to have dinner. You ought to open your doors. I'm not going to say try to feed if we was all here, all 120 at one time. But there's nothing wrong with people getting together and fellowshipping. There's nothing wrong with the senior saints going out to eat on a Saturday night. There's nothing wrong with the young adult Sunday school class having a cookout or going out to eat. There's nothing wrong with our teenagers getting together and fellowshipping and having dinner and enjoying one another. There's nothing wrong with that. Why? The first church done it. You know what? He can, Daddy.
That's right.
He has done some things.
That's right.
He's able to do some things.
That's right.
He can do some things.
Right.
But we got to do some things.
That's right.
Dan, I'm going to ask you if you will come play Just As I Am or something. His head's bowed and the eyes are closed. You say, preacher, I'm worried about this problem. I'm worried about this or I'm worried about that. Can I say to you, not he can. But you got to be willing to do some things. I mean, you might have to pursue him tonight. You might have to follow him a little further than what you've ever been. You might have to go out to a place apart from everybody else. But he can. His heads are bowed.